breath in. Blast it. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Squeeze, 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 keep going.
We're at the C.S. Mott Children's Hospital at the University of Michigan. 11-year-old Brianna Allgood is being tested by a machine called a spirometer. It measures her breathing.
Very good. You need to take a little rest? Are you ready to go again?
Okay.
You ready? Okay.
Brianna has asthma. Sometimes she has difficulty breathing. Most of us would have a hard time imagining what that's like.
Scary, mostly. It feels like your chest starts tightening, and you can't really breathe in much air.
Can't get enough air, or you can't breathe out?
You can't get air in. Like, you can breathe out, but you can't get air in.
That does sound scary.
It is.
Not just scary for Brianna, but for her family. Vicki Elliott is Brianna's grandmother. She says she finds herself checking in on Brianna a lot, just to make sure she's breathing okay.
Having a child like that in the home is scary, because anything could happen.
Brianna is luckier than some kids with asthma. Her family can get her to the clinic. They now know how to treat the asthma. Elliot says it's made a big difference.
We've seen a huge improvement in the last couple of years. She's not been in the hospital as much. This year, knock on wood, she hasn't been there yet, and we're praying to God that she doesn't.
Brianna had been in the hospital 3 or 4 times a year until the family fully understood what they had to do. Making sure Brianna takes her twice daily medicine and she has her rescue inhaler with her at all times help make sure the asthma is controlled. But medical personnel say making sure kids get their medication and take it correctly can be difficult for some families, especially if they don't understand how dangerous asthma is.
I'm Carla Stormer-Grossman. I'm a nurse in the Pediatric Pulmonology Division as a clinical care coordinator for the Children's Asthma Wellness Program.
Stormer-Grossman at the Mott Children's Hospital says too many families simply accept that their children will have to get emergency help for their asthma.
Hospitalizations and emergency room visits are not normal. I've had many, many patients that have told me that, little Billy has to be hospitalized 3 to 4 times a year, and that's just the way he is. You're never going to make a difference with that. When we are able to really get that patient's trust and that family's trust to have them come to clinic visits every 3 months as we ask them to, we are able to decrease those hospitalizations to almost zero.
But to get to zero, some families need help.
So, just come in.
That's where people like Mary Kim come in. After kids are treated and given medications, Kim visits for follow-up help, checking to see if there are asthma triggers in the house, seeing if everyone understands how to use the medication. Today, we're visiting Javon White.
Javon was a really nice young man.
Hey, you.
Hi.
Javon's mother, Lavetta White, says when she was at the hospital with him, besides being worried to death about her son, being bombarded with medical terms and explanations, she was given a prescription and medication instructions. It was a lot of information.
Being in the hospital, you know, you're with the doctors and the nurses, you know, they're in and out, and you can only absorb so much. Then when you come home, it's kind of, you know, gone. You don't remember, you know, what they told you from, you know, all these instructions when you left. So it was very helpful to have her come here and, you know, do everything hands-on and show us, you know.
So Mary Kim works with Javon so he understands the difference between the two inhalers he's been given to use.
So the other, if it's not the rescue medication, the other one is your...
control.
Very good. High five.
The Flovent controller and the albuterol rescue inhalers can cause some confusion. The inhalers look similar, and like a lot of families, Mary Kim says the Whites benefit from the reminder.
A lot of parents maybe just get a little overwhelmed. There's a lot of different names for these medications, and to think that talking to them once within 5 minutes, 10 minutes, they're going to remember it doesn't always work. Some people do, but some people don't.
Kim says the other trick is to make sure kids take their medication. When they're feeling okay, it's sometimes easy to forget. She says she had a private chat with Jovan.
He started telling, like in the bedroom, I said, are you taking your medication every day? He went, sometimes I forget. I go, that's okay. Yeah, which dose are you forgetting? So that's what I try to say. Is it the morning one or the night one? So mom and dad have to remind him. There's no way any of my kids can do this on their own. They need someone to remind them.
The Whites live in an apartment. That makes it more difficult to get all the possible asthma triggers corrected. The apartment complex is not likely to replace all the carpet with hardwood floors or put special filters on the furnace, so they do what they can. For some families, it can get even more complicated. Back at Mott Children's Hospital, Carla Stormer Grossman says sometimes families are dealing with things like domestic violence issues, personal protection orders, sometimes Child Protective Services is involved. And in some cases, it's simply the chaos of living in a high-crime area, as one family explained to her.
It was very difficult for them to take daily medications because there's a lot of violence in their neighborhood. So there was a time where they actually had to hide in the bathroom all night because there was bullets being shot all over the place. And they, you're not going to think about taking medications if you're worrying about a bullet coming through your window.
And sometimes the healthcare system itself can get in the way. Stormer Grossman says there are times the medical professionals know a child needs medication for asthma and they need it right now, but they can't get it.
The Medicaid insurances often don't let you prescribe certain medications because of the cost. And none of the asthma medications currently out there are generics. So we have problems in that the insurances will require prior authorizations, which take time. You have to jump through multiple hoops.
So you're telling me that Medicaid and private insurers are denying kids the medicine they need immediately?
Yes, I am.
Not much can be done about the insurance companies, or living in a high-crime area, or about family dynamics. But in some Michigan counties, there is some help for some other issues. For example, in Detroit, Wayne Children's Healthcare Access Program goes into homes to identify some of the problems that might be aggravating children's asthma and corrects them. Joanna Jackson works with the program through a nonprofit called ClearCore. She says it's important in the Detroit metro area because children there are twice as likely to have asthma.
In Detroit, about 20% of Detroit's children have asthma, and it's definitely an environmental issue. A lot of the homes that we work in, we see a lot of hazards that contribute to children having asthma or having those symptoms where they could develop asthma.
What kind of things? What do you see?
Mold and moisture issues, definitely. Pest, things like rodents, it's a big issue.
The feces and body parts of cockroaches, rodents, and other pests can be asthma triggers. Fixing moisture problems that cause mold or mildew can be relatively cheap, but too often families don't have the money to fix them or they live in rental units and can't get the problems fixed. They also can't afford the special pillowcases or bed coverings to deal with allergens. It's all just too expensive.
Children in poverty are at risk because they don't have the resources to rid their homes of things like mold and moisture. So it does take a lot of other referrals to help our families to decrease the asthma symptoms in the home.
That's where this aid helps make a lot of difference. But not every county in Michigan offers this kind of help to families with asthmatic kids. Besides these in-home environmental issues, there are often problems outside. People living in low-income areas often live near highways and factories. There's diesel fuel exhaust, particulate matter coming off tires, and they're often closer to smokestack pollution. Going outside for some fresh air can be trouble for a kid with asthma because for them, a lot of times there is no fresh air. In Lansing, the Michigan Department of Community Health is aware of these problems and more. John Dowling works on asthma policy issues. He says poverty also means it can be difficult to get proper and regular treatment for some kids.
You also can have issues of access to care. Maybe they don't have transportation, so it's difficult to make it to doctor's appointments. Might be difficult for them to get to a pharmacy to get the proper medications if they have those prescriptions. Many might not have a primary care physician. And we do see a lot of folks relying on emergency department for their care.
And while the Michigan legislature has recently increased funds for all of these issues, when I asked John Dowling about whether the state, the counties, or the cities such as Detroit are doing enough.
You know, of course it's not enough, you know, and I know the city's strapped, and I know there's other organizations that are doing things as well.
Just not enough to make sure the kids with asthma get all the care they need. Dr. Toby Lewis at C.S. Mott Children's Hospital is a leading expert on asthma in the state. She says there are sometimes temporary federal research grants to evaluate programs, but it's never enough.
Funding for the types of grassroots programs that would really make a difference day-to-day in families' lives, there's really no stable funding source.
Dr. Lewis says Medicaid and private insurance on their own are not enough to meet all the needs to help kids with asthma or other ailments.
So there's really not much public health safety net available anymore for all sorts of different public health problems, of which I would include asthma as a major one.
And so many kids living in poverty in cities and in rural communities go without diagnosis of their asthma, or they go without proper treatment. That costs lives. Asthma is a life-threatening disease. Kids sometimes die from it if they're not treated. From 2004 through 2006, there were 393 asthma deaths among children and adults in Michigan. 30% of the asthma deaths were in Wayne County. And the experts say every one of those deaths was preventable. That is a high cost for something as simple as follow-up teaching on the proper way to use medication, or making sure a home is cleared of the things that trigger asthma attacks.